following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
Please turn into your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. We're going to be in verses 13. Last week, I preached on parable of the good sower. And I want to continue on that message of preaching about parables. A parable for Jesus. About what his desire is for his people. Whenever I first looked at this passage, the parable of the rich fool, one, it stands out because there's a man who approaches Jesus asking him inheritance with his brother. Jesus condemns this man, saying, "He who made me a man that had so much wealth, but chose to hog it for himself." And while you're still turning into your Bibles, I remember first hearing this message from a preacher, and he asked this question to his congregation. He said this: "Say that our entire nation, the U.S., it went up in flames, that there's rubbles, and that there's burning buildings going around us, and that we needed to rebuild and restructure our society, and say our constitution was burnt up as well. What laws would you implement? What 10 laws would you say should be a law for all of the nation?" For us, when we think of 10 laws, we think of the 10 moral laws. That being, some of them being, do not murder, don't steal, don't lie, and honor your father and mother. One that usually pass over is do not covet. Do not commit covetousness with your brother or sister, with someone else. And when we see that word, we usually skip over it, but it is a moral law. It's something that we should uphold. So what is covetousness? Covetousness is defined as a desire for something that you do not have, something that belongs to someone else. So we have this two part, one of greed and one of judgment. In this side of judgment, you see something that does not belong to you, and you have this mindset that this is desirable and this should not belong to this person. And then you have a sense of greed that you say, "I desire it for myself. For this will give me satisfaction and this will satisfy my soul." But Jesus, and we see what Jesus does to this man and what he alliterates through a story, through this parable. So listen as I read in Luke chapter 12. "Then one from the crowd said, 'Teacher,'" some translations use the word rabbi, "'I tell my brother to divide his inheritance with you.'" So Jesus, he's asking Jesus to tell his brother to divide his inheritance with him. "But he said to him, 'Man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you?' And he said to them, 'Take heed and beware of covetousness.'" So this is the key word we should be looking at. So be aware of this so it doesn't impact our lives. But he says, beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. And when he spoke to them, he said a parable. And he said this: "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I'll do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you provided? So Jesus is saying, where will those things go? God's telling this man, where will all those things that you possess be going? Because your soul is coming to me. They will not save you. And Jesus' last words saying this, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you that these words be yours and not my own. Use me as a vessel to where I can proclaim to your people what they should be doing. So that we may be sanctified and so that we can be better stewards, better people, and better Christians to go and proclaim your good news. Lord, let these words change our lives so that we can look more and more like your Son, so that in our sanctification that we look to the image of your Son, that we will not be ourselves or more like the world, but more like your children. And Lord, change our desires so that we are not greedy or we don't desire things that aren't for us. But our desires are for you and you alone. And we do this in your Son's mighty name. Amen. So here we have three truths about greed. Three truths that should steer us away and three truths that we should observe in others and see how they desire to have things that they should not possess. Our first one is greed reveals. Greed reveals the heart of people. It shows the desires that we have to keep for ourselves. It shows the desires that we long to have things and we long to have possessions. And we long to have these things, hoping that it will satisfy our souls so that we can one day be happy, be joyful, and take it easy like this rich fool. For the man who's asking Jesus these questions, he desires to covet with his brother to take a portion of his inheritance. And Jesus condemns him. He even begs the question, he asks the question to this man, who made me a judge over you? Or who made me an arbiter? Or in our understandings, who made me a lawyer? He addresses him as teacher. Some translations use the word rabbi. Now, rabbis were teachers. They were proclaimers of God's word. They were to uplift, but also instruct God's people on how they are to live. But at times, a rabbi was also seen as a lawyer or a judge to if there is squabble or issues amongst the people, that he can lead them and guide them in the correct path on how to handle judicial issues. But in this moment, it seems like Jesus is saying, why should I be a judge over this? This is not my fight. This is not a dog in my fight. And then Jesus presents the parable, condemning the man, saying, you should not be coveting these things, and you should not be desiring these things. And he uses a rich fool as a story illustration. And in there, we see this rich fool that he was given an abundance. He was given so much that it was overflowing out of his barn. And he thinks to himself that instead of giving it away, that he hogs it to himself. When I say this, greed reveals, it reveals the heart of the issue. For this man, he wanted and desired riches. And I think Jesus uses a rich man as a way to communicate to this man, because I think this man has many possessions. For many Jews, they had a lot of possessions, because God blessed them with these things. And for him, he seems like he feels like he's losing it all. But Jesus says that you shouldn't worry about these things. Now, was the issue that of having things, was that the main issue? Was Jesus condemning him, saying, you shouldn't have anything in life? I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue was the man's heart and his posture towards Jesus. For him, he was desiring these things out of abundance of his gain, and not to put it forth and put it forth towards others. Many times, the way I think about this is a child. Specifically, I'll say it like this: a rich brat. See, when a family, they become wealthy, and a man or a woman becomes wealthy and they have families, typically, especially when you see it in movies or TV shows or you read it in books, that this family, they bring bratty children. And these bratty children, they don't like to share, and they don't like to give to others at all. And as they grow up, they continue acting this way. They always desire the next thing too. They're never satisfied with what they have. As a kid, they desire a toy, and they desire the next toy, and they desire the next toy. As they get older and they reach maturity, they desire to either do sports or the next sport, or they desire to be a part of a club, and then they join another club. Or they desire a car, and they don't want a simple used car. They want the brand new car. And it can't be a truck, or it can't be something that is nice but commercial, but they want something luxury. And these brats, they desire these things, hoping to fill their hearts. But instead, it reveals their greed and desire. Now, I say these things as well because a lot of times this also happens in churches. And our greed isn't towards usually money sometimes. It's towards other objects. And they're not tangible objects. Our greed is to desire for sometimes power. For sometimes authority and influence. I was talking with a friend who's a minister of a church, and he was conveying with me the struggles that they're dealing with at the moment, that there's some members of the church who were causing issues with the leaders of the church, being the pastor and the deacons. And he was telling me these things, saying that the issues that many of them had were even minor. And there is one of the examples that it was just worship. See, the leaders of the church, the pastor, was desiring that they were reaching younger children, younger adults. And they desired that we're going to keep our hymns, we're going to keep our music the same, but we're going to change to more of instrumentals. And I'm not here to debate over if instruments are right or wrong in church, but I'm saying this, that the leaders of the church desire to proclaim the kingdom of God to the next generation so that they may know who he is. And the issues that they were complaining about and squabbling about was tertiary. And many times, this is not just in our times, too. This proceeds across all generations. It wasn't even in the New Testament. It was also in the Old Testament. I know many of us, we just finished our Bible study through the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And when we get to Moses, he delivers, and God delivers the Israelites out of bondage, out of slavery. And he tells them that there's going to be a promised land, that this land is going to be good and plentiful for us. And we're going to see so much that God will give us so much that we will be overflowing. And this land will be filled with what is described as milk and honey. Not literally, but it's described how sweet and how good this land is going to be for God's people. And God's people, the Israelites, they doubted God and they doubted Moses and they continued squabbling and doubting what would happen. And they keep saying these words to Moses and to God, saying, you keep promising this land and you keep telling us that we're going to see something that's going to be good, but I'm not seeing it right now. I keep seeing this wilderness that is set before me, and you keep telling me that there's going to be something good, but I just don't see it. And for them, they would not get to see it, but the next generation would. The next people who came after them, the next set of Israelites, will get to see that promised land. And it was fulfilled. God kept his promise to the Israelites. For the Israelites at that Moses' time, they doubted and they questioned the authority. And they said, we desired a good land. And it would be better for us to go back to Egypt. They kept doubting the authority. And they said that their greedy desire for them to go back to Egypt. Because at least for them, they said that at least we had food. And at least we had clothes. And at least that we had shelter. Here in this wilderness, we don't see that. And they doubted Moses, and there is punishment as a result. And in that punishment, they didn't get to see the promised land. So when we examine ourselves, and greed reveals that sometimes we desire authority and we desire power. We desire authority, power, and money. And sometimes we do that even in our churches. And we do it and we push it onto our pastors. And we'll try to push it onto probably Brother Tracy as well. But we shouldn't. We should trust the authority of our pastor. God tells us that a shepherd, a pastor, is an under-shepherd. It's someone who is to teach us and guide us and proclaim the good news for us. And lead us so that we can tell our children about Jesus. And so that our generation will not see and shut down, and our churches won't shut down, but the next generation will come in and be a part of the church so that we can see our church proclaiming the good news generation and the next generation and the generation after that. So yes, greed reveals, but also greed takes. So the man, he desired to take from his brother. He's desiring to covet over his brother and take what is for his brother. And for the rich man, he desired to take the excess of his crops. In the parable, the rich man, he had plentiful. He had an overflow of crops. And for them, this was their riches. If they had good harvest, they were considered rich and wealthy for years and years to come. And this man, he said, instead of giving it away, I will store it for myself. so that my soul will be satisfied in my desires and what I will choose to do will be satisfied. I go back to the illustration of a rich brat. They always seem to take but never give. They always seem to desire the next thing, but never give away the old. For that child, and many times we're also guilty of this. When we were younger, we were guilty of this. And I'm sure you've all seen it. Whenever you're first having your children, they were never eager to share, I imagine, huh? They were never eager to give their toys away to it. I say that because I see that through my niece and nephew at times. I wanted to play a game with my nephew. I see that he's playing on his Nintendo Switch, and he's playing a game that could be easily two-player. He was playing Mario Party or Mario Kart. And I asked him if I can play with him. He just said a simple word, no. He wanted to play the game for himself. He didn't want to play with me and enjoy a moment with me. He wanted to enjoy the moment for himself. And historically, this is seen throughout Scripture through God's people. I think of David and Bathsheba. We think of the sin of adultery that David committed. We also see the sin of murdering his dear friend. But also, I think there's a sign in revealing that David's greed that he had, and that covetousness. Because in that story, David sees Bathsheba. And he sees her across the way. And he says, I desire her. I long to have her. And whenever he goes to her, he knows that this is not his wife. That this person, this woman, is belonging to his best friend. And yet he takes her. In that covetousness, he sins. And he commits adultery. But he finds out that Bathsheba is pregnant with his child. And he continues to sin. And in that sin, he sees his friend that he has. He could have said that I messed up and I sinned against you. But he says that what you're going to do is you're going to go to war. And you're going to do these things. And you're more than likely going to die on the field. And I think David does this to hide his sin and hide what he did with Bathsheba. So, and he thinks that he can get away with it. But he sins and sins and sins three different times. He covets, he adulterates, and then he murders. While he might have not killed him in action, he was the one who knowingly full well that he would die in the field of battle. See, covetousness and greed, it takes hold of us. And we desire to have these things, not expecting the longevity of the people that affects. See, as God's people, we should give cheerfully. We should give cheerfully our abilities that God has blessed us with. Our money that he's blessed us with. And our skills so that we can preach the good news to others. We don't steward it for ourselves. We don't hide Jesus from others. We give Jesus to others because Jesus commands us to go and proclaim his good news. The good news is something that we don't hold to ourselves. We give it out. And we give it cheerfully. It is a treasure to be told. It is an amazing story that should be preached. And it should not be hidden in our hearts. We see that greed, one, it reveals. And two, that greed takes. But also, greed destroys. For the rich man in this parable, greed took hold of his soul and it condemned him. God condemns him. He said it to himself before God tells him that his soul's in question. He says that the things that I have, it will satisfy me. And my soul within my body will be satisfied. So now that I can eat and I can be filled up and I can be a glutton and I can drink and I can be a drunk and I will take it easy and I'll be lazy. For him, greed can destroy the body. We think to ourselves that, one, sometimes sins just affects our soul, but we don't take into account what greed does and what sin does to our bodies. It's because sin does play an effect onto our bodies. And God says to him, too, that your soul will be in question today. And your soul is being taken today. You're coming to meet your Maker. And what does he say? Those things that you have, they can't save you now. Your crops, your goods that you possess, the barn, the amazing barn that you've built, it won't save you now. Why? Because I'm here for your soul. I long for your soul. I don't care for those things. You can't give me money to enter my kingdom. You can't give me all your leftover crops. What I desire is your soul. When I was talking about the body and how it plays an effect, it does. For greed and greedy people, they tend to see that. And they're shaped because greedy people, they tend to have a lot and they're satisfied a lot. And they eat and they have as much food as they desire and they become gluttons. And they become lazy too. They don't even have to go and do the work anymore. Someone else has it for them. More importantly, I think of a story as well. Again, I'm a big fantasy fan, so I'm going to talk about Lord of the Rings. So if this bores you, you can tune out, I guess. But I encourage you to listen to this because this is an important thing. There's an important character that desires greed and desires this one thing, and this is the ring of power. This character named Gollum, he says to himself that this thing is my precious. And originally he was this normal-looking man. A hobbit. And in that stance, he first encounters the ring and he desires it and he says, this is mine. And he's willing to kill someone for it. He killed his friend for this ring. And for many years, he would possess this ring. And you see from this man who was once normal looking, he had a good stature. His body was standing up straight. He now turns into this creature of the night who's hunched over and on all fours and eats like an animal. No longer was this man normal, but he was like a creature, like an animal. And this is all because of his greed and his desire for this one ring. And sometimes we look at that today. Many churches today suffer from greed today. And I'm not just talking about televangelists. I'm not talking about Joel Osteen, who preaches this prosperity gospel that if you have enough faith that God will give you an abundance and that your happiness should be here and now. But many churches today, and many churches, small churches, deal with also greed. And like I said, it's not just money. But many of those things are temporal things like power, like authority, like influence. And they look at these things and saying that I should have these things. And I should be in charge. And I see this pastor and in what he's preaching. And I know that I could do better. Like I said, many churches like that happen around us. And an unfortunate reality is this too. Many of those churches are not around today. There are churches who had so much. And they desire to keep things the same quota. And I'm not talking about the gospel. I'm not talking about the essential doctrines. But I'm talking about tertiary issues that we should not be squabbling over. They desire to question the authority. Because they think that what he is doing is goes against tradition. And usually this is what it looks like. It starts with simple things. We see that whenever we see younger people come to church, a lot of times we push them to the side. And we keep them to the side so that we can have our authority. And we can keep our power of the church. And those young kids who desire to be good church members and desire to be a part of the church, they go to another church. And the rest of the time, that church, they stay with the same members for years and years and years, and you never see a next generation come after them. Because they greed that they keep things the same. And for many years later, those churches that kept things the same, they're no longer around. And in replacement of those things, those church buildings, in replacement of it is a shopping center. What once was a church that was designed to proclaim the good news and to send God's people out is now instead a McDonald's. The church that is designed to go and be the hands and feet and designed to preach and give people hope. It's now a Burger King. It's been replaced with something gross and detestable. And I want us to not be like that. Now, I'm not saying that Brother Tracy should outright just immediately next day change our service to contemporary of having a guitar on stage. I'm not going to say that. But I'm saying if Brother Tracy changes and desires that we put a guitar on stage and yet keeps the worship essential to where it's proclaiming God and is giving thanks and glory to him, because that's what worship is designed for. It's not designed for satisfying ourselves. It's designed to satisfy the Creator. Again, there's that greed again. We're interpreting worship to be something for ourselves and not for God. If Brother Tracy decides that he keeps the hymnals the same, yet adds a guitar, we should be honoring and give him that authority, because God has given him that authority. He's given our pastors that authority so that the next generations and the generations after can be the hands and feet of the church. We need to be able to reach the next generation for God's kingdom. And if that means we need to give up some power, give up our authority, and choose that whatever Brother Tracy leads us to do is because God has placed that upon his heart, we should be reverent and give him thanks. And give God the glory to see the next people come in. so that they can be Christians. And then whenever they have children, that they instill those values to them. So, as I leave off with this, I want us to be diligent about this. If in our hearts we feel that we are being greedy, whether it be our money, whether we don't tithe, or that we have a greed of authority, a greed that we think that we should be the leaders and that God should step down from his throne and I should sit on that throne because I know better, lay that down and give God that authority. And if we should desire power and have money abundance and where our ego is filled up, I say lay again down. Because God gets that glory. And God gives it to us. God gets the glory and we give God the praise. God is generous and he blesses us with these things. And what in our turns, we should give it back. And the greatest gift that he has given us was his son. His son was both man and God. And he lived amongst us. God desired not that he was greedy in himself, that we should be wicked in our nature and that he should be distant from us. But he says that he was generous and he had mercy and he gave his son to us so that whoever believes in him and believes what he's done, in that action of him laying his life down as an atonement for us. And whoever believes in that atonement, that he was the good sacrifice and he was the blemished sheep, will have everlasting life. And we believe in that message and we believe that he will transform us and sanctify us. And in that sanctification, we are transformed. We're no longer looking like ourselves. We're looking like the image of his son. So God has given us the amazing gift, and we should go and give that amazing gift to others. For this rich fool, he didn't get that. He hoarded his treasures, and he hoarded the things, and he never gave. I say to you, go and give. One, if you are hearing the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus, that he is God and man, and he laid his life down, I pray that you lay down your greed and your authority and your power at his feet. Why? Because one thing, you never had it to begin with. He had it all from the beginning. Isn't that amazing? We think to ourselves that I can lay down my authority, and yet he says to himself, you never had it. But we still instead submit to his will, and we submit to him. Why? Because he is God. And here's the amazing thing. God stepped down from his throne and died and took the penalty that we deserve so that we can be like him and that we will one day join him in paradise. And if that's good news for you, accept it and repent. Repent being turning away from your sin and choosing to go forth before God and going, laying down everything before him. Repentance is a changing of mind from going away from sin to going into holiness. And if that's good news to you, it's good news to submit to. Let's go to the Lord as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in its time of examining greed, I pray that we never take our greed
power. We lay down before the foot of the cross. And we say that, God, I see your son. And I see that he is someone that should be worshipped. And I take my greed and I lay it before God. Or if it's other sins, that I lay before him so that I will join him in paradise. And that he will one day see me and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. If anyone in this room desires that now, they can step forward and they can, we would love to pray. Me and Brother Tracy will pray for you. Or if there's other issues that we, that y'all seem to have, whether it be we're seeing issues with marital, or if there's things that you want to bring before, where two or more, we see that prayer, two people, that your name be proclaimed. Lord, as we enter this time of silent prayer, just for a moment, if someone wants to step forward and accept Jesus, or if someone just needs a time to pray with one of us, we're going to do that now.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.